I am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers. And
Southernmost Sports Wrap, only on KeyWestShow.com.
You're listening to Ship the Shore Radio.
Your lips.
No, my legs go first.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, weird.
My cheeks, actually. No, hold on. My cheeks get red. And then my lips are getting red. Huh? That's already happened.
Yeah, it is. Oh, there go my glasses. No, hopefully. Not the last turn they make of the... the last... We should be fine. Oh, watch your drinks.
Hey, Jack, you on the line?
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, how you doing, man? Sorry about that. I think my mic was off. Apologize for that.
Yeah,
that's all right. I thought I was, like, yelling at you the whole time. I just realized my mic was off. It happens every time. But, I just wanted to welcome to my show, Jack Griffin. He is the FIU field goal kicker. If anybody remembers the bowl game, Little Caesars Pizza Bowl last year, he had a 34-yarder as time expired to win our first bowl game. This season, probably a little more impressive. Last year we did win the conference. This year, not quite. But we had the best record we've had so far, 8-4. And we got a big bowl game coming up on Tuesday, December 20th. When are you guys heading up there?
We leave Saturday morning around noon.
Oh, wow, Saturday. That's cool. So you guys are just going to practice the first couple of days?
Yeah, we've been practicing this past week, and then we have an early morning practice on Saturday, and then we're getting on the buses to head up there for a few days.
Cool. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I definitely need to get just accustomed to the place and just make it a nice little event. Yeah, I mean, I just bought my ticket yesterday. A little late on the buying to get the ticket, but I will be there. I got off work, thank God, so I'll be up there to support you guys. You guys are playing Marshall this year. What do you know about Marshall so far? I know you guys haven't played him yet.
Yeah, we've never played Marshall before, but we've been, you know, checking tape for the past week or so, and then I just started a couple of days ago looking at the returners and whatnot, and I know they're, I believe he's number 19. He's one of the top, like, 10 returners in the country, and, you know, just watch some stuff on him, see what they like to do with the football when he gets it, and then, you know, just going to work on seeing what we can do to, you know, get him contained and, you know, make the best plays possible.
Yeah, yeah, because that's going to be your job, kicking to him. Do you think he's better than T.Y.?
No, personally, I don't think so. You know, I think T.Y. is, you know, is one of the best in the country. And, you know, since he's, like, you know, also my teammate, it's not just, you know, me saying that.
I'm not,
but, you know, just watching him make plays is just absolutely amazing. He's one of the most elusive people I've ever seen on a football field.
Yeah, I'll say the same thing, just watching it from the fans. It seems like every game he's got a 80-yard pass play or something. It's like they know it's coming, but they can't catch up to him. There's nothing he can do. But just real quick, yeah, like I said, not a conference title for you guys. A couple of surprising teams. You guys had a couple of rough losses, a couple of injuries, just sparingly, and just a couple of close losses. But is this the season you were hoping to have?
There were some disappointing things, you know, throughout the season. But, you know, then again, like our records show how good we are and can be. And our potential, you know, 8-4 is nothing to, you know, be ashamed of or hide, but the conference, you know, not winning the conference back-to-back or, you know, coming on it again was disappointing, and this is something we need to work harder for next year. And as far as the losses go to, like, who we lost and everything, I mean, there were so many great teams that we played this year, and every game was very, very close, so...
Right, yeah, you guys beat UCF, had a couple friends talking trash coming down to see the game, and they were just really disappointed, and was just good for me. And obviously, you guys had a lot of spotlight attention, a couple ESPN2 games. Let's talk about the ESPN game you guys had on against Louisville. Just shocked. I mean, you know, I don't know much about Louisville's football team, but I expected it to be, especially on the road, to be a definite challenge. But T.Y., 201 receiving yards, just what is it about you guys in the national spotlight? Do you guys just love it? Do you guys just get fired up and guys seem to do really well?
It's just, you know, it's not just that. It's just the opportunity that we have and to be able to go out there and, you know, showcase what we have and, you know, our potential and how good we can be. It's really awesome, and I think that's just something the guys kind of, like, you know, are drawn to, and just the whole thing and the way the game's played is just all set up around it. The atmosphere just brings a whole other level of play.
Yeah, no question. I mean, yeah, it's either one way to go. Either you get nervous or you just you take advantage of it. And you guys definitely take advantage of it. That was definitely one of the most exciting games I've seen. Just a couple of questions. What was your best moment you can recall this season?
Here.
Like the best moment you think you guys have had this season, if you guys had to pick one moment throughout all the games?
This season?
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of, you know, got better as the year went on.
Right.
The first one would have been Louisville, for sure.
Yeah, no question.
You know, beating, you know, the Big East champions. That was huge for us. And then, you know, take part in their bowl game. Like, you know, a bid for their bowl game, a Big East team, and taking a spot is huge. Then I'd have to say beating UCF. Because that's a Florida team. It was a Florida-ranked team. Beating them was another big thing. And then probably finishing the season with the best record in Florida.
Yeah, all I heard on Facebook was all the Seminoles' best record. I'm like, do you guys know FIU is still here? We have the same record. I guess I didn't really care. But it's all good. This is funny. One thing I want to ask you. On the October 18th versus Arkansas State, it was a loss, but as I believe you had to do the punting duties as well. I believe that was your first time ever punting. Was that the first time punting? Did you ever punt in high school or anything?
Yeah, I did punt in high school, but that was my first time making an appearance in college.
Was it a little – I mean, you seemed to do good. You had 4 punts for 139 yards. I mean, I don't think you really got nervous, but were you a little nervous because, you know, it's not something that you do every day?
Yeah, that was probably one of my more games I was nervous for, just because it was just the conditions and everything that came with the game, and it'll be my first time or whatnot. I just wanted to do the best thing, you know, the best job I could, and switch the field position for the team. So, you know, I felt like I had a lot more pressure and everything on my shoulders.
Well, you seem to do all right, honestly, for that. Well, let's see. Do you think, like last year, you guys obviously won Little Caesars Pizza Bowl. Not really. I mean, you had some FIU supporters, but, I mean, it's kind of hard to get a lot with that being, you know, almost 2,000 miles away. Do you guys feel like having more fans this time is going to actually get you guys more pumped up?
I think so. Hopefully, you know, the fans and everyone that I know that were coming, this should feel more like a home game than anything. And, you know, it'll be awesome to change the atmosphere with a new field and, you know, playing Marshall and everything and bringing our fans up. And I know their fans, a lot of their fans are coming down. They sold almost all their tickets. So I know it's going to be a big game and almost sold out. So it's going to be awesome.
Cool, cool. Just really quick, if you had one thing to tell the FIU students what to expect on December 20th, 8 o'clock, what can you say to them?
You know, expect the same team, but just more pumped up. I mean, we've had the past 2 weeks to prepare and be ready and not playing the game. And I know the seniors, especially, are very hungry, you know, and everything for a win. And I think to expect that and a lot, you know, a high caliber of play out of them.
Awesome. And no big injuries. I think you guys are all healthy for the most part, right?
Yeah, everyone's healthy and back as of now.
Cool, man. That's what I like to hear. I don't know if you knew about it. You finished the season 84%. You know, you were 14th in the nation in field goal percentage. You were 9th in field goals attempted, and you were 5th. That's 120 teams. You were 5th in field goals made. Excellent, excellent year. I just heard that you were also an honorable mention on the Sports Illustrated All-American team, and just want to say congratulations. It's hard to get noticed. I mean, I'm not saying FIU is a small school by any means, but, you know, everybody's always focused on ranked teams and LSU and all that, but just a great year for you. And can we expect you out there next year?
Yeah, for sure. I'll be back.
Awesome, man. I'll graduate, but I'll definitely still pay attention to you guys for sure. And T.Y. Hilton, he was 3rd in the nation in kickoff return yards per kick, like on average, 32 yards. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool that you guys had a good year. And honestly, that's pretty much all I want to talk to you about. I'm really happy that you were on the show. It does take a while. Usually takes about 10, 11 days to get through media relations, but you're very helpful, and I'm just glad that you're on the show. A lot of people are listening in right now, and just good to hear about you guys. A great season. It's my last year, and I'm glad you guys finished my last 2 years off with great seasons, and I just hope that you guys play well on Tuesday, and I'll be there to support you guys.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Jack.
All right. Bye.
All right, guys, that was Jack Griffin. If you guys have been following the Panthers at all, I know I've been to pretty much every game. I missed one game just because I had an audit to go down to Key West. But I went to every game, and it's just amazing. Every year we're getting better. And like I said, first year I went there, we were finishing off our second straight year with no wins. We won our last game of the year. We were, I think, 1-23 in 2 seasons. And I never gave up. I kept going to the games. And last year, like I said, went to a bowl game. This year, 8-4 record, best record that we've had, and off to another bowl game it is. And I look forward to a lot of people get nervous, honestly. You know, I know it's a long drive, but you know what? Like you said, the FIU Panthers are hungry, and I expect a lot of intensity, and I just don't think Marshall's ready. I think we're gonna hit him hard. So we'll see. Like I said, I'll be there to support him. And let's see what we got here. All right, let's move on just some top news going on. Like I said, I apologize for the first 3 or 4 minutes I had. I don't know. There's a switch on my thing that turns the mic off. I don't know. I never switched it off for any reason. I guess it just did that. I don't know. My apologies, but I'm back on the air. And just big news, if anybody doesn't know already, CP3, Chris Paul from New Orleans, he is now going to the Clippers. And for Eric Gordon, Chris Kamen, and Al Farouq Aminu, and a few draft picks with James as well. So it looks like Blake Griffin and CP3 will be reunited, not reunited, but it'll be united in LA. And just after all this, it's crazy. The Lakers should have had him. They were their first ones to make a trade and have a trade accepted. That's all you really need for a trade, although I've never seen a commissioner veto a trade like David Stern did. But that's what happened. Trade was vetoed. And, yeah, so, but now after countless trades, talks, and everything, he finally finds a home. And the Clippers are going to also have Chauncey Billups as well. Two point guards, but they said Chauncey should have no problem playing the two guard. And I think overall it'll be a decent team. And in a lot of talks right now, I think it'll be the best team in L.A. It's really hard to predict anything right now because big man Dwight Howard is still looming. And I don't care what they said yesterday about taking him off the trading block. I think they're playing hardball, and I think eventually someone's going to trade him. If you don't know why that they're trying so hard to trade him, it's because this is last year of his contract. After this season, he's a free agent. He can go wherever he wants to. And that's what happened with Shaquille O'Neal. He played all those years that was on the contract, and then he left and went to L.A. won, what was it, three titles. So the same thing's happening with Dwight. But with another year left on his contract, he still plays for the Magic. And if they trade him right now, they can get something in return. And I have to pay, you know, well, not have to worry about him leaving next year. So that's basically what's going to happen. So I don't see them making the same mistake twice. It's exactly the same predicament they were in 10 years ago with Shaq, 15 years ago with Shaq. So just other news, Lamar Odom got traded to Dallas, two picks. The Dallas Mavericks lost Tyson Chandler and J.J. Barea. J.J. Barea ended up going to the Timberwolves. And Tyson Chandler ended up going to the Knicks. So Lamar Odom trying to fill in some holes down there up there in Dallas. Vince Carter also joining him in Dallas. Lamar Odom not too happy about it. Just he said the way that it happened, I guess, wasn't as respectful as he was hoping for. But, you know, these older guys like him who still have talent, they get, you know, their salaries are huge. And with the salary cap issues, like I was just discussing last week, where it's going to be 4% tax over anything over $70 million that you spend, you have to times that by four, or basically five is what you're paying four to the league and the other percent you're paying to the player. It just gets really expensive. So they had to make some trades financially for that reason. But we'll see what happens. I still think Dwight will find a team soon. He could stay with the Magic. I believe Dwight Howard said that the only teams that he would join would be the Nets, the Lakers, the Mavericks, or the Magic. So we'll see what happens with him. But nothing so far. He is right now Orlando Magic. Brandon Roy retired because of knee problems. He's very young. I believe it's his fifth or sixth year in the league. Very young guy, great guy. I think he's borderline elite, and just injuries are bothering him. Also for the Trailblazers, Odin, I believe, has an injury now, and Aldridge has a lesser injury. He should be back pretty soon. They did just sign Jamal Crawford, though, to fill in that. So he'll at least have a little offense to go with it. Last Thursday night, Colt McCoy got a concussion during a game. The Browns and the Steelers. James Harrison, no surprise, he was on the other end of that. He got suspended for one game. The hit was vicious, honestly. I've heard numerous opinions on the suspension. Worse than I thought. I heard a lot of people saying that he shouldn't have even got it. He's playing the game, but I'm totally against that. I mean, you're giving that guy a concussion. Concussions are serious. It's not like, you can end somebody's career like that. And I'm sorry, but that's not okay. You know, he clearly wasn't going to run down the field with it. You can sit there and hit him. You can push. It's Colt McCoy versus James Harrison. James Harrison can grab him, put him on the ground. He doesn't have to sit there and lean in with his helmet and blast his face on it. It was just totally ridiculous. And if he was suspended for the rest of the season, it's just because of who he is. And he just doesn't care. Like, he'll get fined a million times before. And if he changes his play, it's just the way that he is. You know, it's just dirty. I don't agree with it at all. But moving on to other news. Of course, we all know about Jerry Sandusky and his trial, his child molestation with him at Penn State. It happened about 10 years ago. His court case continues. I think it was yesterday or the day before. He waived his preliminary hearing, refusing to face his accusers, and a lot of opinions on that. So he'll resume it in January, and he remains in his house because he posted his $250,000 bail. So he's not in jail, but he's on house arrest, and his court case will resume in January. Other news, like I mentioned last week, Albert Pujols, C.J. Wilson, torn out with the Angels, both players, accepting lesser deals with the Angels versus what the Marlins were offering them, which is a little annoying, but that's where they wanted to go. Still, they got bigger offers from the Angels, from their home teams. Pujols getting a lot more money with the Angels than he did with the Cardinals. Cardinals just didn't want to pay it. And you know what? There's a lot. This is just like LeBron James. Everybody's got their own opinions. Of course, the people from St. Louis are all, hey, now we don't like you. The guy gave you everything that he has had. He's arguably the best player of all time. He's playing for your team. He won you guys a couple titles. And you guys are now hating him? Then why don't you hate the St. Louis Cardinals for not paying the money, He's worth every penny. He's proven that. And, if he's the best player, pay him the money, I see what they're saying, but at the same time, he's a grown man. He can make his own decisions. You can't fault some guy for just playing hard and wanting to make money. Nothing wrong with Los Angeles, So, same thing with LeBron. LeBron, I guess, was a little different just because he was joining a powerhouse team. But, I'm a huge Heat supporter, and still, honestly, it's his decision. He can do whatever he wants. Cubs signed Aramis Ramirez for third base. They already had a third baseman, though, Casey McGee, and they traded him off. And Prince Fielder is still the biggest free agent out there, so look for him to find a home pretty soon. Not sure where yet. Just moving on. I guess we'll talk a little. I just caught up working. So if anything huge happened in the last 3 hours, I really didn't hear about it. So I'm just checking ESPN.com. Yeah, they were saying earlier yesterday that Dwight Howard was not going to be traded. Well, he said he's off a trading block, which kind of means that he won't be traded, but now they're saying the trade request still stands. So I look for him to be traded pretty soon. Next 5 days, I would expect. Nothing huge happening so far in the last 5 hours on ESPN. Let's move on to football. Like I said last week, Thursday Night Football was the Steelers and Browns. Steelers won 14-3. And like I said, Harrison will be suspended for this week's games after the big hit on Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy played the entire second half without even they said that they didn't even – there's a lot of questions because they're big in concussions right now. And they said that the training staff didn't notice that he had a huge hit, I guess, because they were focusing on two other players. So that he did not get fully checked on the sidelines for a concussion. Colt McCoy waking up the next day, not even remembering the second half. That's ridiculous. That's a huge concussion. And his father was outraged, and he says so on ESPN.com and ESPN. So moving on to their scores, the Patriots beat the Redskins. It was a close game. They won 34-27, kept it close. Gronkowski had a huge game, though. Two touchdowns, setting an NFL record for the most touchdowns for a tight end in a single season. NFL history, still got three more games to widen that one. He'll struggle to do more. Jets handled the Chiefs 37-10, like they should have. Texans got a touchdown with 2 seconds remaining to beat the Bengals. They kept rolling. I picked the Bengals only because at home, the Bengals have any chance of making the playoffs. They got to beat these other teams. I know the Texans are a good team, but they already got to worry about Pittsburgh and the Ravens. So I thought they were going to win. They should have. It was a really close game. It just Texans got a touchdown with 2 seconds left, like I said. T.J. Yates to Kevin Walter. And Texans won by 20-19. Ravens beat the Colts 24-10. No surprise. Colts remain winless at 0-13. Peyton Manning is working out to get full strength, but I have heard nothing that he's going to play this year. So I look for them to either squeeze out a win somehow with whoever they whatever they got, or they're going to be 0-16 most likely, because they honestly are a really bad team. Falcons beat the Panthers 31-23. They outscored the Panthers 24-0 in the second half. And the Panthers looking good again, but just they have a lot of flaws. Defense is just not good. But it's still a good year for them. Falcons remain in the hunt for a wild card spot in the NFC. Jaguars, 28 points in the second quarter, beating the Bucks 41-14. It was 14-0, and then just like that, it was 28-14, and they went 41-14. Surprising offense for the Jaguars. Saints hang on against the Titans, and they win 22-17. Saints continue to have a great season. Titans lost, but they still have a good shot to make it to the playoffs. Eagles beat the Dolphins 26-10. A little surprised at that outcome. Eagles obviously one of the disappointing teams, and the Dolphins, as of late, have a really good team. They've been blowing out people. So I just thought it was at home. I thought it was a really good combination to beat the Eagles, but they did not. 24 points in the second quarter for the Eagles. Michael Vick was his first game back after missing three games. And the Lions stopped the surging Vikings at the goal line, and they went 34-28. Had a good lead, and the Vikings came back. They were at the one-yard line. Plenty of time to score, and ended up being a sack fumble. Actually, a bad call, to be honest with you. Joe Webb came in for Christian Ponder and played terrific. Had a huge run for a touchdown. And he was actually, if you see the replay of the fumble, his face mask was just ripped. It looked like he was ripping his head off, but they didn't call it. He ended up fumbling the ball, and obviously the game was over. So bad no call. Either way, Vikings had a disappointing season. It probably just got him a better draft pick, so that's why I try to tell my Vikings fans. But it is true. My upset of the week, I picked it right. I had Arizona beating San Francisco, and it came true. San Fran, good team, great defense. They're just having a lot of trouble scoring touchdowns. A lot of field goals for David Akers this year. And they were winning the whole game, but the Cardinals came back and won 21-19. Arizona beating the Cowboys the week before, so they're having a pretty solid end of the year. They're actually, I mean, you could consider them one of the worst teams, but now they're actually in the hunt to make the playoffs. Possible. And, yes, I know, I can't go through a whole show without saying the words Tebow. I'm not going to talk a lot about him, but another great game. He's 7-1 as a starter now, 6 in a row. And, yes, Tebow time again. Exactly how you should draw it up. Down 10 points, under basically 2 minutes left. Of course, I'm looking at ESPN and they're talking about Tebow. It's just, I guess, the story of Tebow. But it is a Tebow era. But, yes, 4 touchdown, and really Marion Barber coughed this game up. I know it's a new story every week with Tebow, but, yes, Marion Barber had the ball. And, honestly, with the time left and the timeout situation for Denver, all they had to do was just run the ball in bounds, and he ran out of bounds, stopping the clock and leaving an extra 40 seconds on the clock. I'm watching it. Right now, as I'm talking about it, that's how often they're talking about Tim Tebow on SportsCenter. But anyways, I left a little bit of time on the clock. Tebow went down the field, kicked a 59-yard Prater, and yes, much love for Prater. He's been saving Tim Tebow's ass the last 6-7 games. But yes, Prater hit a 59-yarder as time expired to send it to OT. And again, they did not have the ball to start off the overtime, but they caught a turnover. This time again, Marion Barber coughed it up, and a 51-yarder by Matt Prater won the game. And if you didn't know that by now, then you must not watch any TV whatsoever, because he's all over. But I figured I should talk about it a little bit. He's still great. Tim Tebow was a horrible NFL player when it comes to stats, but you can't – honestly, he inspired me to never give up. I mean, just what he does, honestly – that night in and night out is just ridiculous. So mad props to him, but I'm sure he's getting enough love already. Moving on. Packers annihilated the Raiders. No surprise. I remember seeing a headline on ESPN.com last week saying, this is how the Raiders will beat the Packers. I'm just like, really? Is there actually a way that can happen? Not even close. And shoot, I was trying to get my stat of the week Oh, here it is. Yes, I have the original Stat of the Week song back. And as that does bring you to the 7 Most Sports Rap Stat of the Week, 3 games left in the NFL. And yes, the Dan Marino, 5,084 yards, has stood, this is 1984, it's what I have, it stood this long, 17 years. As of right now, there are 2 quarterbacks on pace to break it by a decent amount. Drew Brees on pace to have 5,376 yards, which would break the record by 292 yards. And Brady has 5,259 yards he's on pace to get, and he would beat it by 175 yards. Just amazing. And 2 other quarterbacks that are very close also. Aaron Rodgers, he fell off pace to get it. He was on pace last week, but still, he's on pace for 5,076. That would miss it by 8 yards. Obviously, he's obviously on pace to have a shot at that as well. And Eli Manning, I'm sitting here hearing a lot of nonsense about Eli Manning. I know maybe you're a Cowboys fan or whatever, but he's a great – I mean, this year is his best year, and he's been playing excellent. He is on pace for 5,052 yards. Any quarterback that's on pace for over 5,000 yards is being mentioned in breaking – a single-season NFL record for passing yards is obviously a really good quarterback. And that one, he's on pace to miss about 32 yards, but obviously he's in the hunt with 3 games left. He's got a lot to play for, so look for all 4 of those quarterbacks to have a really good shot at it. It sucks for me. I mean, I'm a huge Marino fan. He's two Dolphin streaks on the line. Obviously, the perfect season of 1972 on the line with the Packers, and Dan Marino's record right here. Both are in big jeopardy, but we'll see what happens. And just picking up where I left off, talked about the Packers and not landing the Raiders. Kind of just rolling in right there with the undefeated season talks. The Chargers playing hot. They always do at the end of the year, and they roll against the Bills. If this game would have happened 10 weeks ago, I would have said the Bills probably would have won, but Bills are not playing good. So it was a big win for the Chargers, 37-10. The 10 was the score, and still alive in the AFC West. And they will not have a chance for the playoffs if the Broncos keep winning. But they're still in the hunt. And I got to talk about Eli, another comeback for him, another breakdown for Romo. Pretty much when you have a guy that is really good at coming back in games, as you do with Eli Manning, and you have a guy who's really bad at giving up games in Tony Romo, and they're playing each other, and having Romo with the lead, what do you think is going to happen? And yes, 2 unanswered touchdowns for the Giants with a 2-point conversion, and they went 37-34. The Cowboys had a shot to tie it up and bring it overtime, but their field goal was blocked last week against the Cardinals. They're talking about Jason Garrett, the head coach, iced their own kicker. He called this with a timeout. I think he already hit one with the timeout being called, and then he went out to hit it, and he missed. This one was iced by the other team. He made the first one, and then when it came out to make the real one, he missed. It got blocked by Jason Pierre-Paul, and look for that to possibly be on my top plays of the week coming up shortly. And that was a Sunday night game, great game, and boring Monday night football game. I didn't watch it, but Seattle won, beat St. Louis 30-13. So good for them. Stat leaders last week. Just really quick, I have a caller on the air. Hello, caller.
What's going on there, Zen Man? This is Captain Frankendred. I'm calling from Eastern Pennsylvania. Good
point. How you doing today, sir? What's on your mind?
Wanted to find out a little bit of information about Shaq Griffin, was he in this evening?
Yes, he was. I'm ashamed. Everything went beautifully, but I'm ashamed to say my mic was off for the first two or three minutes. So I'm sitting there yelling at him, like, is he there? Is he bad service? Blah, blah, blah. He couldn't even hear me, but he kept calling back. And I finally realized, I was like, oh, great, my mic's on. So then we talked about for about 15 minutes, and it went well.
Kind of wondering, so the award that he was up, did he happen to win the Best Plus Kicker in America award?
No, I believe the Florida kicker won that one.
I found
but they
it
were
very
both tied interesting. They're both tied in percentage. It's percentage 84% for the year.
Does he have any type of future with the NFL? Did you really ascertain what's in his future?
Well, he is playing. He played last year, and I asked him if he's playing next year, and he will. I believe he'll be a senior next year. Honestly, I think he's got a shot. I didn't ask him about it. Some kind of personal. I don't really think he knows at this point. But like I said, he's fifth in the nation in field goals made. He was ninth in field goals attempted and 14th in field goal percentage. So he's obviously got a lot of great stats. He was an honorable mention for the Sports Illustrated All-American team. So I think, honestly, I think he has a shot. So we'll see what he does next year. And we'll see what he does in the bowl game.
I just wanted to say, Zen Man, you do a really great job. And welcome to Shit the Shore and the Dreaded Sports Talk Network. And welcome to Southernmost Sports Wrap. And make sure you tell everyone about your Sunday show, which is the Southernmost NFL pregame show.
I always talk about that, and I always talk about the infamous Dreaded Sports Talk every Tuesday at 9 o'clock.
I've heard rumors that that show is kind of cool, and we'd like to have you some Tuesday as well. Thanks for having me on,
yes.
Man. Thanks for having
me
on.
No problem. Get out of my hair. No, I'm just kidding. All right.
Have a great night. Thanks.
All right. Just where I was on my stat leaders. Man, I hate when I do this. It's so off the subject. And it's going to take me a whole 15 seconds now to get my weekly stat leaders up. I had it up here, I swear. All right, just give me 2 seconds. And week 14, last week's stat leaders after I just told you about the games. For quarterbacks, Eli Manning led the way last week. 400 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Tom Brady right behind him. He had 357 yards, but he had 3 touchdowns and 1 pick. Drew Brees, 36 completions, 337 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. And Tony Romo had 321 with 4 TDs, and Matt Ryan had 320 with 4 TDs. So those are your quarterback leaders for last week. Moving on to your rushing leaders. This is kind of annoying. Fantasy-wise, it kind of got me. Sean Green was the opposing running back. He got me big time. 129 yards, leading the rushing to last week. 129 yards, 1 touchdown. Roy Helu from Washington, second with 126 yards. Marshawn Lynch continued to have a solid second half. 23 attempts, 115 yards, 1 touchdown. Ryan Matthews, the second-year man out of San Diego, 114 yards, no TDs. And I'm already laughing. Joe Webb was the fifth highest rusher last week. 109 yards, seven carries. He's a quarterback. He's a backup quarterback. He's a backup quarterback. Jesus Christ. Well, I mean, you had Donovan McNabb, technically wasn't the first string, and then you had Christian Ponder for the Vikings, and this is technically your third string. Joe Webb, fifth in rushing last week. Very good, very good. And he had a touchdown. And a fumble, like I mentioned, but that was total BS. He had his face mask ripped off trying to win the game. But I don't know. He might start this week. We'll see. And, of course, your receiving leaders, Akeem Nix. He catches 163 yards. Rob Gronkowski, I talked about him breaking the single-season tight end touchdown record. He had 2 touchdowns, 160 yards receiving, only 6 catches. That's a lot of yards per carry, or per reception, about 27 yards. Antonio Brown for Pittsburgh, 5 catches, 151, and 1 touchdown. Larry Fitzgerald, no surprise to see him here. He had 7 catches, 149 yards, and a big win for San Fran. And Laurent Robertson, the big pickup by Dallas after Miles Austin went down. He's been a bright spot for Tony Romo. He had 4 catches, 137 yards, and 1 touchdown last week against the Giants. Hello, do we have a caller?
Hello, new caller, sir.
Yes.
Mike Zambito.
Oh, hey, Mike Zambito. How you doing, sir? Where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from upstate Florida, you know. I talked to you a few times, you know. I always appreciate what you have to say, but you know, I caught the end of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm a Cowboys fan, sir, and, you know, I love it. I love Tony Romo as much as I hate him, sir.
Yes. I mean, I have mixed emotions on him as well. He's a good guy, but he's very inconsistent. And whenever a team is inconsistent, you're going to fall on the quarterback. I mean, look at Tim Tebow. It's not really just him. It's the entire team. But nobody cares about anybody but Tim Tebow. And nobody cares about anybody but Tony Romo. So he, like I said, he's just – I think they had this is a record. They had 5 games this year where they were up by 13 and they lost. And it's just – you can't have that. I mean, they still have a good shot at making the playoffs. But, you know, they're just – I don't know what to tell you, man. I have my doubts. If I had to choose my top 6 teams to make the playoffs, I don't think I would choose them. But they have a good shot. So,
you know, I'm a Cowboys fan, born to here I am right now. And, you know, I love Tony Romo, but I hate him just as much. And, you know, he ain't going to bring us to it. So, I ain't betting no money on that, you know.
Yes. See, the Dallas is playing Tampa Bay this week. They're actually playing on Saturday night football, 8:30 game.
I'll bet Cowboys on that one, but I don't know past that.
Yeah, Tampa Bay, I don't think Tampa Bay hasn't won a game in like 7 weeks, so I think that should be a solid bet, but good luck trying to find somebody to bet against them. They have 3 games left. They got to play one more against the Giants, which is going to be the do-or-die game for the division now that they're tied with them. If they lose, they lose a tiebreaker, and then they also lose another game. So it's just with the 3 games left, they have to beat them. I don't know what they play the next week or the week after. That's going to be the big game. But, I mean, good luck to you guys. I don't have anything against Dallas. It's just they lost their leading rushing running back last week, DeMarco Murray. So that could be bad news. But we'll see what you guys do. You guys are a resilient team. You have a tough time finishing.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Very, very, very similar to the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills, you know, they carry it. And, you know, almost half the season, then they fucking brought it up. Like, they were going to win, you know. It's very typical of the Buffalo Bills out of the last 10 years. You know, they bring it to the fucking final point, and they finally lose it at the end. It's always like that.
Honestly, they had a good team to start out the year. You could see that they were good, but what happened was Fitzpatrick, their quarterback, was looking for a contract, and they gave it to him midseason. And as soon as they gave him that contract, he just fell off. And he's still a good quarterback, but they just been nothing but mediocre. And so that was the best game I saw all year. Was when they came back 24 points to beat the Patriots. But they're a bad team right now, so I don't see them doing much.
No doubt about that. They've been a bad team for a long time.
Yeah, they have. Since I've been around and been watching football, I don't remember them having a good year.
Yeah, right. Long time. 94, 95, 96, maybe.
Pretty much. Yeah, man. Well, I'm going to let you go. I have about 15 minutes left, but thanks for calling in. I'm sorry that you're a Cowboys fan. You guys are still a good team, so it's not as bad as some, but...
All right, sir.
I don't know. I mean, good luck this year. Good luck this year. You guys need a lot of luck. So, but the game against the Giants, you guys are going to have to win that game. Be a big game.
Right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, sir. I would hope to see you on the show next week or a week after, whenever you want to call in and talk about the Cowboys.
No doubt.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Just moving on really quick. Those are my stat leaders. And I do have – I know I have it here. I don't have my power ranking awesome now, noise, but I do have this. I was supposed to have my power ranking music. Somebody probably heard it before, but this is my power rankings for the NFL. Starting at number 10, I have the Falcons here. They're still a very shaky team. if you guys haven't watching Thursday Night Football, they crushed the Jaguars, but you should. They suck. But the Falcons, huge comeback last week. Like I said, 24 straight points against the Panthers. I think they have a good shot at the playoffs. So I'm going to have them at number 10. At number 9, I have the Broncos. You can see obvious flaws in their team, but let's face it, they've been nothing but winning the last 8 weeks. So I have a number 9, leading the AFC West. The Giants, I have you at number 8. You guys are having a good year. So I think, you guys have been up and down my list with losses and wins, but as of right now, I think you're a solid team. The Saints at number 7. One more. You guys are definitely going to take down the NFC South. And for right now, you have a number 7 team. I wanted to put you ahead of the Texans, but yes, the Texans have lost a couple guys. They're down to the third straight quarterback, but you guys have not lost yet. So I have you number 6. I still think you're going to make it to the Super Bowl. You guys are my pick. 49ers, I have you number 5. You still have the second best record. Well, now you're tied with a bunch of teams with the second best record. So instead of you've been in the top 2 the whole year, but now you're number 5 because of that loss against Arizona. Still a solid team. I have the Patriots at number 4. They have a bad defense, but their offense is still the best in the NFL. At 3, I have the Steelers. 2, the Ravens, no question. Because the Ravens have beaten them twice, I have the Ravens ahead of you guys. And the Packers, of course, at number 1. No surprise there. Let's get right into my predictions for the week. My prediction today was Atlanta beating Jacksonville. 31-20, it's a lot worse. It's a lot worse right now. It was 41-7 last time I looked. I think it's over. I think it was like 41-14. Yeah, so that was a pretty big blowout by Atlanta. Dallas at Tampa Bay. I have Dallas winning 21-17. Should be a lot worse for Tampa. It should be a big win by Dallas. But for now, because you lost DeMarco Murray, I still have you winning, but a close game. Miami, I have you winning a close one at Buffalo, 27-25. Seattle at Chicago. Chicago is just—I don't know what to say. With losing with Haney as the quarterback and losing Matt Forte, I have Seattle winning 27-13 on the road. Carolina at Houston. I have Houston winning by 3, 34-31. Tennessee at Indianapolis. I have Tennessee winning 31-24. Green Bay at Kansas City should be a blowout. It's probably going to be worse than this, but I put 38-17 Green Bay. New Orleans at Minnesota, I think it'll be a close game. I think New Orleans wins by 3 points, 31-28. Washington at the New York Giants, I have the Giants winning 28-22. Washington looked good last week, but that's because they're playing the Patriots defense, so you know how that goes. Cincinnati at St. Louis, I have Cincinnati winning 31-20. I believe Detroit will be Oakland. This will be played in Oakland. I think Detroit will win 35-24. Cleveland at Arizona. Arizona should win 34-24. It might be a little worse than that, but that's my prediction right there. New England at Denver. It's a big talk, man. Tim versus Tom. You want to know my prediction? I think that the Denver Broncos will win 23-20. You either got to pick them to win or you don't. Because I picked them to win, I picked them to win by 3 because that's how they always win. And yes, I know that New England has a great offense, but Denver has a great defense, and I just think they're on fire and the confidence that team has. And they're at home. I think Denver wins 23-20. Jets at Philly. I have the Jets winning 31-28. Baltimore at San Diego. I have San Diego winning. I think they're just a really good. They're at home, and they're right now when you're down to the last few games. San Diego's playing high, and this is just who they are. They play good. They have to win in order to stay alive. So I think they win 23-20 with Phillip Rivers. And Pittsburgh at San Fran. I think Pittsburgh wins 21-20 on Monday Night Football. Really quick, it's my South Florida sports update. FIU, like I mentioned, will be playing at the Beef O'Brady's Bowl, St. Petersburg, at Tropicana Field, the home of the Tampa Bay Rays, December 20th, next Tuesday. It'll be at 7. Well, no, it should be at 8 p.m. The Miami Heat start their season on December 25th at Dallas, who they played in the NBA Finals last year. It'll be at 2:30 p.m. start on Christmas Day. Dolphins, like I said earlier, lost bad to the Eagles. Now they are 4-9 on the season. Still not bad. They were 0-7 once. Still 4-2 since. And not a good season, but a lot better than what we all thought could have been. So good for them. Panthers, honestly, I'm not really a diehard Panthers fan, but they're my hockey team. They're currently third in the Eastern Conference. Amazing. They're 16-9 with 38 points. They're only three back when it comes to the points behind Boston and Philly. Third in the East. That's excellent for the Panthers. I'm really looking forward to them having a great year, and I'm rooting for them. Just not a huge hockey fan, but I'm definitely a fan of the Panthers, so I hope they do good. And the Marlins, nothing really to talk about them except for signing. They haven't had any big names since last week, but like I said last week, they had signed a close with Heath Bell, shortstop Jose Reyes, and starting pitcher Mark Burley. Great additions for the team. And really quick, I want to get in my top three plays of the week. Here are my top three plays, guys. Enjoy.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's, I think, Pierre Paul, who got a hand on it. That is amazing. But Scott Green is saying, hold everything, hold everything. Trying to get the teams off the field. So Green is just saying, the game is not over. Here comes Pierre Paul. And he does get just a little bit of it. And the reason the game is not over is because there's 1 second left. So there has to be one more play.
Yep, that was a big play for the Giants to beat the Cowboys. Just kind of sums up the season they're having. Here's play number two.
Ronnie Paxton will snap it. Britton Colquitt will place it down from the left hash. Matt Prater from 51 yards out for the win. The kick is good!
That was the second big field goal Matt Prater hit to win the game, another win by the Broncos in dramatic fashion. And here, number one play. This is a great game. This is Indiana that beat number one Kentucky early this week.
2-point lead, no timeouts for Indiana. Jones. Watford for the win. Yes!
Yes, that was Dick Vitale going crazy. Just a great win and a three-pointer at the buzzer to win by one. Indiana was actually undefeated, but they weren't ranked. They're playing number one Kentucky, so got to love it. Hey, just really quick, that'll bring me into my final thought. If Dwight Howard would have been traded by now, I could have had a much clearer thought. This is basically based on if Howard joins the Nets. So here's my prediction on what the NBA standings will be after playing this 66-game season. And here it is for the Eastern Conference. I predict Miami will be number one with a 56-10 record. I think Chicago will be number two with a 51-15 record. I think the Knicks will be third with a 49-17 record. Boston fourth, 46-20. I still think the Magic will be good. Hopefully when they trade, they should get better players back. Not better players, but a decent amount back. As far as I think they're still going to be a good team, 44-22. I think the Hawks will be 43-23. The Pacers, 42-24. And I have the Nets at 42-24. I know the Nets will get Howard if that happened, but still, like, it's always, you know, it's hard to get chemistry that quick. But obviously, it's just a prediction. It's not going to probably look at anything like this, but we'll see. Western Conference, I have the Thunder as my best team in the Western Conference. I think they'll be 53-13. This is their year to do something big. Dallas, I think, will be 50-16. They did lose Tyson Chandler and J.J. Barea, and they got a little older, but I still think, well, the addition of Vince Carter, Lamar Odom, it's still going to be a solid team. The Clippers, I think, with the addition of Chris Paul, with him and Blake Griffin, I think they're going to be a great duo. And with everybody else they have around them, I see a 48-18 record. The Spurs, my fourth seed, 46-20. The Lakers, assuming you just have Kobe, Bynum, and Gasol, I think you're going to be 45-21. It's going to be tough to play without Odom, but that's the record I think you guys will have. Phoenix, I think, is sixth with a 43-23 record. Memphis, 43-23. And at number eight, the Nuggets, I believe, are going to be at 41-25. That is based on the teams that I see now. That's just my guess. We'll see how close I am to those predictions. And that's pretty much all I have for you guys. Sorry about the first 3 minutes. It's just like the third time it happened. I used to do it on my phone, and my ear would actually hit the keypad and mute my show. And I've done it. Well, it happened once where I went like 10 minutes. It was really bad. But, yeah, it happens sometimes. But had a great show today. I'm really happy Jack Griffin was on the show. Like I said, he's just had a terrific year. Panthers, I mean, it's just he had a terrific year, and the Panthers had a terrific year. It's not really a coincidence. And I really am looking forward to next Tuesday. I did get a new job, so, I'm staying at Miami full-time. But I got Tuesday off. I told him, hey, it's my last year. I want to go witness history. So it'll be about a four-hour trip to St. Pete for me. So I'm really looking forward to that. And hopefully they win. And Christmas is coming up soon, so I wish you guys a Merry Christmas. I have a show next week, and that'll be the next show before Christmas. So hopefully I have something special for you guys. The show is getting better and better. I'm trying my hardest, and I hope you guys enjoyed. Just make sure you join me every Thursday night at 11 o'clock for the Southern Bowl Sports Wrap. Join me every Sunday morning, Sunday at noon. I'll have the Southern Bowl NFL pregame show. Great show. It's half an hour to spend with the Zen Man and talk about football, fantasy teams. Really good for you guys. I give you guys the injury reports up to date. My predictions, last week's scores, the weekly leaders, gives you guys an idea of who to start. And I'll give you my top three fantasy players in each position. It's really informative. And like I said earlier, make sure you join Captain Frank of Dread in the Dreaded Sports Talk Tuesday at 9 o'clock. It'll be an hour and a half show from 9 to 10:30 p.m. He'll also have his trusty first mate, Ken, and Evil Rob. And, I might jump in next week. We'll see what happens with that. And that's about it, guys. Like I said, join me next Thursday for another edition of the Southern Bowl Sports Wrap. Good luck to the FIU Panthers next Tuesday. Good luck to them. I'll be there. And thanks again for Jack Griffin being on the show. I'm glad you guys gave me some information that I wouldn't know without you. So with that, I'll get you guys adieu, and I'll see you guys next Thursday. Thanks.
I am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers. And
here we go. To the 40, the 30, the 20. Touchdown, Prince.
Let me tell you what happened. I make that ass drop like a sack of potatoes. What crawl on the cracker later?
Freeze.
Southernmost Sports Wrap, only on KeyWestShow.com.